Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Striving Together Publications is committed to providing growing Christians and local churches with life-changing resources. For growing Christians, we strive to provide solid Christian books and music that encourages your heart and strengthens your faith. For local churches and spiritual leaders, we're providing sound, biblical Sunday school curriculum, outreach and discipleship materials, church brochures, sermon helps, and a growing list of other tools and resources. If you are a growing Christian or a leader in local church ministry, you simply must visit Striving Together Publications at strivingtogether.com.
If you know Christ, you were not designed or called to journey through life alone. You're called to journey through life with a church family, striving together with one heart and one mind. Next on Daily in the Word with Paul Chappell, we learn how to strive together. You know, a lot of churches have lost the ability to stay unified, to stand together for the gospel, to strive together with one heart, one mind, and one spirit for the faith of the gospel. Today on Daily in the Word, we're going to rediscover and begin discovering how to strive together. Welcome to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell. Dr. Chappell is the senior pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and the president and founder of West Coast Baptist College in the high desert of Southern California, Lancaster, California. And today we're going to study how to strive together. We're learning and relearning how to not go through life alone, but to arm in arm, heart to heart, shoulder to shoulder with our church family for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Strive together for the faith. I want to encourage you to visit us online at dailyintheword.org. You'll find lots of resources there, a daily devotional, the Daily in the Word podcast, as well as Dr. Chappell's two newest books. The first one, Stewarding Life, a beautiful hardback book that helps you understand how to take one lifetime of limited resources and live it for eternal priorities. The second is a book entitled Sacred Motives, 10 Reasons to Get Out of Bed Tomorrow Morning and Live for God. Both of these books will encourage and strengthen your walk with God, and you can find out more about them at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. Today's message is Striving Together with Preparation, 2 Chronicles chapter 24. Here's Paul Chappell.
Many people procrastinate. Procrastination, one man said, it's my greatest sin. It brings me endless sorrow. I'm going to stop doing it perhaps tomorrow. That's the way many people live. You see, nothing brings us to the realization of our priorities better than hearing what God has to say about the subject of money. There's no quicker way to find out where we are in our heart for God. Do we seek first the kingdom of God or not? And we find out immediately that these Levites were not having a heart for God at this time of their life. They did not want to be involved. Reminds me of the story of a little girl whose dad gave her two $1 bills. And she was told by her father, "Now, sweetheart, one of these dollar bills, you can do whatever you want with it, but the other one belongs to the Lord. Put it in the offering on Sunday. I think it's good to teach our children from an early age to honor the Lord." Well, she was so excited about those $2, she took them, and she was going down to the five and dime store. She was excited to purchase some candy. On her way to the five and dime store, though, she tripped and fell on the sidewalk. When she fell, one of those dollars went going down along the sidewalk, down into the gutter and down into the drain. She got up. She was so sad. She brushed herself off. She said, "Oh, no. Oh, my Lord. There went your dollar." Many times we find the attitude of procrastination and excuse making. These men certainly were doing that. But thank God there were men like Joash who purposed to repair the house of the Lord. Now, we'll be doing some upgrades and repairs and such, no doubt, in the restrooms and so forth. We're going to talk about all that stuff this week at the dinner series, and the PowerPoint and the video, I'm telling you, are awesome. We're looking forward to taking that non-bearing wall and tearing that down and building out the West Wing, nurseries and classrooms and foyers and more restrooms, and then eventually this wall and making room. Those of you that were here last Sunday night, Sunday morning's working out okay with two services, but you saw the full choir loft. You heard the three sets of chairs being set up, the three rows of chairs in the back. Listen, we're not proposing this project because there was nothing else to do. And Joe Ash was not proposing this project so they could keep up with the Assyrians or the Moabites. This was a need to the glory of God. The purpose of a godly leader was to repair the house of the Lord. But notice secondly with me, the plan for the offering. The plan for the offering. How was this going to get done? Now, I want you to notice with me in verse number 6, it says, "And the king called Jehoiada the chief, and said unto him, Why hast thou not required of the Levites to bring in out of Judah and out of Jerusalem the collection?" I want you to see, first of all, it was a determined plan. Joash was determined to do what God had placed on his heart. The Bible says, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for we shall reap if we faint not." And God shows us here, Joash was not going to allow the initial response of Jehoiada to discourage him. He was determined to do what God had called him to do. He calls this chief priest, and he challenges this chief priest to do what chief priests are supposed to do. I'll not take the time to go back into the law of Moses, but I will simply say to you that Moses had commanded that the house of the Lord was to be kept up, and that there was to be annual giving, so the house of the Lord would be repaired. And what Joash, this young king, was simply saying to Jehoiada the priest, he was saying, you just need to do what the priest is supposed to do. So it is with the local church. Listen carefully. If I could simply say to you this morning, as believer priests, if I could simply remind you that we're just being challenged to do what God has called us to do. You see, Joash was telling the priest, you need to do what God has called you to do. As a pastor today, I'm telling believer priests, we need to do what God has called us to do. Someone says, what do you mean, believer priest? Look, if you would, at 1 Peter 2 and verse 5 in your notes. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. We have the privilege through prayer, through giving, through singing, to offer up to Jesus spiritual sacrifices. Look at the next verse in your notes, Philippians 4:18. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Paul the Apostle says to the church at Philippi, when you sent your offering to me, it was an offering that was well-pleasing to God. It was a sweet-smelling savor. So just as in Joash's day their offering was to the Lord, may our offering be to the Lord, from hearts of believers to the Lord, with a joy in giving to him. Joash challenged the priest. Then notice secondly, Joash created a giving chest. Now notice this in verse number 8, what it says. And at the king's commandment, they made a chest and set it without at the gate of the house of the Lord. Now in today's vernacular, that might be a giving envelope. It might be a budgeting envelope. Maybe you've read one of those books or taken one of the courses that has an envelope system. Or maybe for you, it's a savings account. At our house, it's a drawer. Maybe there is a place. The principle is giving. The process may vary from home to home. In Joash's day, they made a chest, and they said, now here's what we want people to do. We want them to bring their collection to the chest. We want them to come with an offering unto the Lord. I like what Matthew Henry said. I think it's in your notes. The throwing of money into a chest through a hole in the lid of it was a way that had not been used before, and perhaps the very novelty of the thing made it a successful expedient for the raising of money. Now, I've thought about this all week long, and I've thought about Joash's chest, and Joash said, I want you to have your offering ready, and I want you to bring it and place it in the chest. And they were getting ready for something special in their lives, and so are we. And I was thinking, now, what if Joash would have been pastoring a Baptist church? I could just hear what people would say, something like this. We didn't have a chest at our last church. I don't know where this idea from the chest came from, and we didn't fill out cards at our last church or make commitments like that. You know, the fact of the matter was that No one had ever used a chest before. David didn't. Solomon didn't. But you know, that's the process that God laid on the heart of this particular leader. The principle of giving is always the same. The process that he gave to them was just a way to set aside. And so in our lives, you may have a different way. You may have a different account or a different place. But the principle is, let's begin now preparing. Let's strive together for the faith of the gospel. It was a determined plan. I want you to notice, secondly, it was a declared plan. Notice in the Bible, in verse number 9, and they made a proclamation through Judah and Jerusalem to bring in to the Lord the collection that Moses, servant of God, laid upon Israel in the wilderness. They made a proclamation, and here was the proclamation: bring the Lord a collection. I want you to recognize that what we have tried to do and what we are doing at Lancaster Baptist Church is to follow biblical process and patterns, and to say, how did they do the work of God in the Scripture, and how can we do the work of God today? Because we believe that with God's commandments come God's enablements, and God will make a way. Now, in this plan of which we preach, there are two basic ways that we can participate, and we'll see these in upcoming days. But notice in the notes quickly. First of all, there's the weekly offering. The weekly offering. And I believe that every one of us need to learn how to give from the first fruits of God's blessing to the Lord. Many of you are brand new Christians, and some of you, this is new. But let's just see what the Bible says. Notice in your note, Proverbs 3:9, it says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. All right, let's say that together. Honor the Lord with thy... So when God gives to you a paycheck, the first part of that belongs to the Lord. The Bible says the tithe is the Lord's. And so for many this few weeks, as we look at how to participate and how to prepare, one of the things that you need to consider is, are you from the very first place, from the first fruits, honoring the Lord? I thank God for the way He's put a protective hedge around the vast majority of our members, keeping them employed and providing for those who've been through some periods of unemployment. And I believe one of the reasons for that is because many of our members have been honoring the Lord, and He's caring for them from the first fruits. Notice in Malachi chapter 3, and notice in verse 10, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, that there shall be no room enough to receive it. I like the story of the missionary in Africa who was in his hut one afternoon. A young man came to his door and knocked on the door. The missionary opened the door. The young man was standing there with a giant fish. And the missionary said, wow. He said, what's that? He said, missionary, this is my tithe, and I wanted to bring my tithe today. The missionary said, well, that's great. He said, but where are the other 9 fish? And the young man said, well, they're still out in the river, but I wanted to bring God his first. You see, I believe for many people in this room, faith is the substance. Faith is the substance of things not yet seen. It's the evidence of those things we're still hoping for. And I believe today that we need to express to God this type of faith. Oftentimes people ask me, should I tithe off the gross or the net? And I ask them, do you want God to bless you off the gross or the net? I believe that we should tithe and do our very best for the Lord. We read about the weekly offering in the New Testament too. Look in your notes in 1 Corinthians 16:1. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, such as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. So the declared plan for the New Testament is a regular giving time to the Lord on the first day of the week. But besides our regular gift, call it a tithe, call it what you want, besides the regular gift, from time to time in the Bible and in the life of our church, there are special opportunities to give what is called a free will offering. It's not something where it's the same amount for everyone. It's not mandated. It's of the Lord. It's a free will offering. And we see this in 2 Kings 12 in the days of Joash in your notes. But Jehoiada the priest took a chest and bored a hole in the lid of it and set it beside the altar on the right side as one cometh into the house of the Lord. And the priest that kept the door put therein all the money that was brought into the house of the Lord. And so we see the purpose of a godly leader is for the house of the Lord, for the glory of the Lord. And the plan for the offering was very simple. Hey, everybody, throughout all the land, let's set aside in the chest so the work of God can go forward. And remembering, it's not about a building. It's about the glory of God. It's about the souls of men. Well, we see the purpose of the leader was for the glory of God, and the plan for the offering was to start setting aside. That may be in an envelope. That may be in a savings account. That may be in your drawer. But I'm challenging you today, a month ahead of time, to begin setting aside in Joash's chest and asking the Lord to use you to be a part of this great work. Then I want you to notice finally this morning the product of personal giving. What happens when we strive together in stewardship? What happens when we strive together in our planning? Well, I want you to see in verse number 10, the Bible says, and all the princes and all the people, what's the next word say there in verse 10? All the princes and all the people in your Bible, verse 10, what did they do? Rejoiced. They rejoiced. You know, they said, man, this is great. We get to be a part of exalting the Lord. We get to be a part of refurbishing the temple of our God. And notice in verse 10, and they brought in and cast into the chest until they had made an end. You see, stewardship is not about raising money. Stewardship is about raising Christians who trust God. It's about raising people who truly and willingly trust the Lord. You see, if you're a steward, you already know that everything comes from God. He's the owner. I'm just the manager. And a steward says, Lord, it's not my stuff, it's your stuff. And if you want me to put some of your stuff in this, that's okay. And they did it cheerfully because they knew where it came from. You say, well, I know where mine comes from. I've got a bachelor's, a master's, and 32 years experience. I got news for you. All of that came from God. Every bit of the blessing in our life comes from God. And a steward just gives back to the Lord what is already his. And they did it cheerfully, just like in the New Testament, 2 Corinthians 9:7, which says, God loveth a cheerful giver. Just like in the New Testament, Matthew 6:21, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And they supplied abundantly to the Lord. Notice in 2 Chronicles 24:11, now it came to pass that at what time the chest was brought unto the king's office by the hand of the Levites, and when they saw that there was much money, the king scribe and the high priest's officer came and emptied the chest and took it and carried it to his place again. Thus they did day by day and gathered money in abundance. You see, day by day they brought the offering in. Day by day the bookkeepers took note of how much there was. They were saving. They were preparing. Why? You're going to see in a moment. They're about to hire contractors. They're about to hire carpenters. And you can't hire carpenters until you have the funds to pay the carpenters. You've got to be ready. You've got to be preparing along the way. So the collection was supplied. And then notice letter B, the work was started. There came a point when they were able to say, go ahead and get started. Last year we were able to say that regarding the asphalt work and the parking lots and some of the projects that have been underway. And this year we're praying to say that regarding the West Wing expansion. And notice that in verse 12 it says, and the king and Jehoiada gave it to such as did the work of the service of the house of the Lord, and hired masons and carpenters to repair the house of the Lord, and also such as wrought iron and brass to mend the house of the Lord. In other words, they said, let's put our monies into the chest and let's save, and the scribes will tell us how much we have. And when we have enough, let's go over here and hire a carpenter and an iron worker and a mason, and let's begin to fix up the house of the Lord. I've got some good news this morning to let you know that because of the giving last year, we've been able to take and hire an architectural firm. We've been able to complete the blueprints. We have a big set of approved drawings by the city, and that's done and that's paid for. Now we're going to take a run towards having enough to hire carpenters and iron workers and masonry workers, and we're going to say, let's move forward to the glory of God, just like Joash did in 856 BC. The workers were faithful to do the work that God had called them to do. The Bible tells us there in 2 Kings 12:15, they dealt faithfully. And I want you to notice there also that they did not use other funds from other offerings that had been taken. Notice it says in 2 Kings 12:16, the trespass money and the sin money was not brought into the house of the Lord. It was the priests. In other words, there were other offerings the priest had, and those were used for taking care of the needs of the people in Israel. In other words, we would not take from our missionary funds to pay for the building project. You see, the tithe is the Lord's. That's for the ongoing ministry. The building project was a separate offering. We don't take from our tithe to give to the missionaries or to give the free will offering for the building. And so it was that they did not take from the trespass or from the sin offering. Now, someday, the history of this church and the history of our lives will be written. Someday, the story will be told. No doubt a part of that evaluation will be as simple as this. What was their attitude towards the Word of God? What was their attitude towards the house of God? Someday, perhaps someone would even write next to your name and mine, good or bad. I don't know about you, but my prayer is that one day when I stand before Jesus, I might hear those words, "Well done, thou." What does it say? "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I think all of us want to run our race here in such a way that when our children and grandchildren remember us, they might say, as we read a moment ago in verse 2, "Daddy did good in the sight of the Lord. That church did something good in 2011 to the glory of God." Let us then strive together, preparing to do something good, preparing to do something that will tell this community, "Hey, we're not in a retirement zone here. We're still moving forward for the glory of God." And by the way, the Lord gave us the greatest example of all, did He not? "For God so loved the world that He did what? He gave." "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." You see, the motivation for all of this is not just to be a part to keep up with the Joneses. The motivation is to say, "Jesus, You went to the cross and You took the nails through Your hands and through Your feet, and You took the spear through Your side and the crown of thorns upon Your head. And for God so loved that He gave. And so because I love You, Lord, I too want to give." The motivation for giving is love. Listen, you cannot love without giving. You can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. May our love for Christ be known in these days. And if you're here today and you've never known the love of Christ, you've never known the fact that He shed His blood on that cross to cover your sin, then I want to tell you something. No church can wash your sins away. And no priest can wash your sins away. But there is one who can take your sins away, and His name is Jesus Christ. And there is none other name given under heaven, given among men, whereby we must be saved. And that name is not Baptist. And that name is not Catholic. And that name is not Buddha. That name is Jesus. And that is the name that is above every name. And that is the name that will cause every knee to bend and every life to bow. And if you have never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, then He and He alone can wash your sins away. And He alone can give you a home in heaven. After all, He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place, that where I am, there you might be also." Thomas said, "Lord, we don't know the way. How can we know the way?" And Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by Me." Friend, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, we invite you to come to Him and trust Him today. And if you do know Jesus as your Savior, please bear in mind, this chest, this special opportunity on March 13th, is so that others may know Him as their Savior. Father in heaven, we thank You and praise You today for a man like Joash. It's kind of amazing to me, Lord, that 2,800 years later, his good name is still being spoken about.
Well, you've been listening to Dr. Paul Chappell on today's edition of Daily in the Word. He's teaching and preaching through a series entitled Striving Together. We're rediscovering church life, how to strive together with other Christians in a fruitful and faithful local church family. You can hear all of the broadcasts in this series when you visit us online at dailyintheword.org. Also, you'll find other resources like the Daily in the Word podcast or the devotional. We hope you'll subscribe to these and use them or pass them along to a friend. All of this is found at dailyintheword.org. Friend, if you haven't trusted Christ as your personal Savior, I hope you'll do that right now. I hope you'll bow your head and heart wherever you may be and invite Jesus Christ into your life to be your personal Savior, your only Savior. Place your full trust in Him and accept His great gift of salvation. If you have questions about that, we sure would love to talk with you about it. I'll give you our toll-free number in just a moment. Don't forget, you can visit us online and find out a lot more about Daily in the Word and the ministry of Dr. Paul Chappell. On our website, you'll find a daily devotional along with an Old Testament and New Testament scripture reading for every day. This complimentary devotional can come straight to your email box and help remind you every day to walk with God. If you follow it along throughout the year, you'll read through the Bible in a year. You'll find this and many other resources on the website, including this series with its recent broadcasts. And you can subscribe complimentary to the Daily in the Word podcast. You can download Daily in the Word to your computer, your phone, or your iPod, and take it with you to listen to at your convenience. All of this is to be found at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. If you'd like to call us, we sure would love to hear from you. Our toll-free number is 1-800-201-7748. Once again, that's 1-800-201-7748. Don't forget to visit us online at dailyintheword.org, and don't forget to look at Dr. Chappell's two newest books, Stewarding Life and Sacred Motives. You can find out more about it at dailyintheword.org. Thanks for being a part of today's edition, and until next time, have a great day.